I'd like to go to my message to you today. And my scripture reading is in Genesis. So go with me to Genesis, starting at chapter 6, verse number 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make an ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish. Let's go down to verse 22. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed Sabbath. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come at this Pentecost time of the year on your blessed Sabbath to worship you and to remember all of your creative and wonderful works that you did for mankind. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless these words and the thoughts that we will express and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask all these things. And amen. I'd like to go to Hebrews 11 and verse 7 for my text this morning. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. This morning my message to you is entitled, Heed God's Warnings. All through his word, he speaks to men of the Bible, men and women, and lets them know of things that is to come and things that they should do in preparation for the things to come. And recently, we have heard warnings concerning various political and economic and even world events that is to come. They've been written, they've been broadcasted, They've been preached. You know, it does get our attention when our routine of life is threatened. It does alarm when stability in our life seems to be headed toward being a thing of the past. And I think many of us here in this worship service this morning have had thoughts within the last year, for sure, that stability, what is considered normal, seems to be very much threatened, very much a possibility of going away, and things in life that we took for granted, and things in life that has been far back as we remember in our family lives, threatened to not perhaps continue. But we are children of the Almighty God. We know by His Word where we need to put our faith and where we need to put our trust. And we know that our faith and our trust does not need to be put totally in our self, because sometimes our self ways will lead us down the wrong path. And a lot of times if we go down the path that we see others going and the popular path, then that sometimes leads to disaster. We know that the one and only thing that we can do is recognize that God is in control. He is the one which has things within His grasp. It is He who delivers and will deliver from any and all of the storms in life that comes to us. And many storms in life have come and gone. And many storms in life are yet to come. And we have them to face. How sad it would be if we knew that we had to face these storms in life by our own means, by what we could do to deal with the situation, because we know very oftentimes we're confronted with storms in life that is very much beyond our ability to deal with. We need God. But when these storms come, when God's warnings come to us, questions are, will we recognize His voice? Will we know when He's warning us that it is He speaking to us? We want to be tuned in to Him. Do you think that we can be tuned in to Him if we are tuned out 95% of the other time of our life? You think we'll hear His voice? You think we will recognize His voice, what He wants of us? If we are out of tune with Him 95% of the time, we know that that's illogical to expect that to be. But we have to recognize His voice. Will we, after we recognize His voice, will we heed the warnings? We'll get the warning from Him, knowing that it's coming from Him. But will we heed the warning? Will we listen And hearing the warning and recognizing the voice, will we fear, or is it even proper and right to fear when we hear the warning of God? Is that the thing to do? Will we fear and act, or will we fear and freeze? How many of us today can honestly say that we've been faced with circumstances in life and have come to certain events and points and places in our life in which we were in fear to the extent that we were frozen? We couldn't do anything. We couldn't act. We didn't act. We were fearful and we froze, became inactive because of our fear. I would have to say that God expects His children to face the storms of life differently. He expects us to respond. Paul says in Romans 3 and 18, there is no fear of God. Now this is speaking of the unrighteous, ungodly, evil persons. Paul says of them, there is no fear of God before their eyes. You know the implication is there should be fear. The right kind of fear toward God in all of our lives. The Bible lets us know that in many places. The Bible teaches us that we need to fear the one who controls both death and hell, who controls our destiny in both body and spirit. God can destroy both. The Word says, don't fear the one who can just take your life, take away this natural body. Don't fear the one who just can do that. But fear the one who can destroy both body and soul or spirit. That is whom we should fear. I'd like to ask for some, since we don't have our computer, I don't guess, working this morning, and that catches several things a little bit unprepared or unaware. I would like different people to be able to call on to read some scriptures. I believe I'll ask David go to Ecclesiastes 12 and 14, and I'm going to just read the verse and scripture, and then you remember which one I've given you, and I'll call out the chapter and book and verse. David is Ecclesiastes 12 and 14. Tammy, Psalms 119, 11. Carolyn Ann, Galatians 6 and 1. Rebecca, Matthew 18, 15 through 17. June, do you have a Bible? 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. And Mikey, you have one? Galatians 5 and 16. And that, Genesis 6, 22. Okay. And Peggy, Hebrews 11, 7. And Hebrews 12, 28. If you forget the second one, I'll read it again after you do the Hebrews 11, 7. Okay, James, Proverbs 1, 7. Jesse, you got a Bible there too? Proverbs 9, 10, and Samantha, if you have one, Proverbs 14 and 27. Proverbs 14, 27. We are at receive advice concerning heeding the warnings of God. And part of this involves fear and our reaction to disasters that are to come and what God says is about to happen in His Word. And I'd like to David to read in Ecclesiastes 12, 14. Let's see what that tells us there and how we are advised.
For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil.
Okay. That lets us know that there's going to come a day in which judgment will occur. God's Word is letting us know that. It's advising us of that. It's warning us of that. There is coming a judgment day in which each one of us will stand and give account of ourselves before God. The things that we have done in all aspects of our life. And there is nothing that will be hidden, that will not be revealed and come to light. So God is letting us know there's a day of judgment, a day of accountability to face. However, we need to know that God wants us to heed His warnings. Know what is to come. Recognize His voice. And then do something about it. But what of this word fear and our reaction to it? Fear God and keep His commandments. Let's go to Psalms 119 and 11 and read that. You know, we have God's Word. It's available to us at any moment of the day that we can take the time to think about it. God, I'm sure, would be very pleased if we would memorize scriptures from His Word so that it can really be embedded in our thoughts and in our hearts. And as the scripture read, to know the Word of God that we may not sin. We need to know the Word in order to know the right kind of life that God has for us to live. We need to heed the warning, heed the advice, and take the actions required. We need to recognize God's warnings in His Word, as we read. We need to also recognize God's warnings through others that perhaps make wrong decisions, that go astray. Let's go to Galatians 6 and 1.
Considering prune thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Okay, who cannot recognize those words? We need to be very compassionate and very considerate to the limitations of ourselves and others. And others may fail. And when they fall, how should our reaction be? We should restore that one in the right attitude and in the right manner. And we should examine ourselves and be careful that we do not fall to the same temptation as others do. We need to learn from what happens to others. But and if one does fall, even within our congregation, the Word of God tells us how we should deal with that. Who has Matthew 18:15-17? Okay.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear thee, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a hypocrite.
Okay. That lets us know how we deal, how we should go about in reaction to one who has gone away from what the church teaches, from what God reveals to the church as right and wrong. It's dealt with not only by the person themselves from that standpoint, but it's also from a church's standpoint because it involves the church. So both the church and the person and the people of the church deal with the problem. Bottom line is, we should take to heart what happens to others. And we should certainly be deliberate in our response. And we should be compassionate. That word compassionate cannot be overly stated. We need to be compassionate because the way we judge each other, that's the way we're going to be judged. God lets us know that He will judge us with the same kind of manner in which we deal out to others. We need to recognize God's warnings within our church. How? Through our teachers that are in our church. Through the Bible lessons that they teach us and the thoughts that they express to us through their Bible studies and our Bible studies here. We need to heed their warnings. And also we need to know that messages that are brought to us from our pastors and our leaders within our church, God speaks to us and speaks warnings to us through these messages of all sorts and topics. He can be speaking exactly to us. And He can speak to each one of us in a different way and about a different event or happening than any other person within the church. That's the way God works. That's how it's so wonderful. It's sort of like the scriptures that we studied this morning about the Holy Spirit coming. And when the Holy Spirit fell on the ones at Pentecost, It was people from all over the world involved, many different languages involved, and many people that could not speak or understand more than one language. But yet when Pentecost was fully come, many people heard the same words uttered, but they understood what the words were in their own understanding and in their own language. It was miracles in both speaking and hearing. They all heard the wonderful works of God in their own language and understanding. Within our church, we can hear the warnings of God. We can also heed the warnings of God by having more of His Holy Spirit within us. That same Holy Spirit that was given on the day of Pentecost. Let's see what 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19 says to us. Quench not the Spirit. And quench would mean to suppress, to resist. We should do the very opposite. Want more of the Holy Spirit. How do we get it? By asking God. The same way we get any of the other of the better things of God. We ask. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened to you. We ask for more of the Holy Spirit. We quench not the Spirit, but we invite the Spirit into our hearts and lives in order to perform the work of God within us. And part of that is heeding His warnings as we have more of His Holy Spirit within us. What about Galatians 5 and 16?
Yes, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Walk in the Spirit. Don't resist the Holy Spirit, but invite the Holy Spirit within you. And then after God gives you a portion of the Holy Spirit, then want more. The Bible lets us know to be filled with His Holy Spirit. Obviously, we're not filled, or it wouldn't say be filled. Obviously, we're not complete and we need more. We're not perfect. We're much less than that. We need to be closer to that. We need more of God's Spirit in our hearts and lives. We need to have the Spirit, want more of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, meaning walk in the things of God. When we think about heeding the warnings of God and of our scripture reading concerning Noah and what the period of time that Noah lived in and the happenings that was going on there at Noah's time, we know that many of those we can relate to right now. And I think if we read in the New Testament, we'll find out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at least some of those Gospels, that just as the days of Noah's was, so it will be in the last time. And it talks about marriage and giving in marriage. People going to and fro, rushing around, having so much to do. And we might add so much to do that they somehow don't think of God 95% of the time. I would say we need to really heed the warning when it comes to the attention that we give to God. when we think about Noah and God's warning to Noah, which included the whole earth, all of the animals that was in the earth, we find that Noah's had a very definite response to God's warning to him. And first of all, Noah, when he heard the voice of God, he believed God. We can hear some things, but we don't have to believe them. We can hear some things from many different sources and directions, but we don't have to accept it. We don't have to react to it. But when Noah heard God's call and God's warning, he believed. Genesis 6:22, who has that?
Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he.
Noah heard, Noah believed the source. He had faith in God. He had a relationship with God. And that's necessary for you to hear and recognize God's voice. Otherwise, you won't. There's got to be communication. There's got to be recognition. And for that, there's got to be quality time. Noah recognized the voice. Noah believed what God said. And then what happened? Hebrews 11 and 7. That we may serve God reverently and with godly fear. That tells us the right kind of fear. Not fear which disables us, but fear which enables us. And fear which produces action within us, rather than the kind of fear that just freezes us up to where we don't do anything. That's the kind of fear that we need to have, is that kind of godly fear. And it says of Noah that he moved with fear. In other words, he believed what God said. God didn't have to tell him twice. Disasters was coming upon the earth. Noah heard it. Noah believed it. Noah took action as God advised him to do, and in the manner in which he did. Let's go to Proverbs 1 and 7.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Okay. That says the beginning of knowledge, doesn't it? Okay. Let's go to Proverbs 9 and verse 10.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
Okay. It's speaking of important things here. Knowledge, wisdom, things that Solomon asked for first, when it was told to him that God will work within his heart in life. And what is it that's important to you? What do you want? Knowledge and wisdom was right at the top. Okay, let's see what Proverbs 14 and verse 27 has. The fear of the Lord is what did it say?
To depart from the sins of death.
Okay. That's letting us know there is a right fear of God. And we need to have that godly fear. When we recognize God's voice and He's warning us of things to come, and to watch and to be prayerful, to stay in tune with Him, to communicate with Him, so that we will recognize the voice, so that we will go where He says to go, stop what He says to stop, take part in or take action, initiate action in things that He says to do. The Holy Spirit leads and guides and comforts. It lets us know when to act and when to not act. When to be still and just observe and listen. When to be still and know that God is in control. When we examine Noah and his response to heeding the warnings of God, we see that Noah did not have a frozen faith. Noah had a faith that spurred him to action, spurred him to listen, spurred him to do. That's the kind of action. That's the kind of warnings and reaction to warnings that we need to have. He didn't have a frozen faith. And Noah did not freeze with fear. Faith was not frozen. And he himself was not frozen, but acted on the things that he heard from God. My message to you this morning is, heed the warnings of God, however they come, through visions, through dreams, through people's words, through the Holy Word of God. Heed the warnings. Know what is happening around you. And know that sometimes there are prophets even outside our churches. They're special people. That special insight comes to. And we need to be aware of that. And give consideration to all the ways in which God would speak to us. Stand with me in prayer.